And Father, I thank you and I praise you for tonight. I thank you for the song service that you put together to minister to your people in song. I thank you, Father God, that you're seated high above all the beggarly elements of this world, and that your angelic host has been sent down to minister to your children. I'm asking you right now, Father God, to have your Holy Spirit move throughout these chairs tonight and minister to each and every need that is here. And Father God, we just thank you for open ears and open hearts that will hear and receive what thus saith the Lord. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if you've read it or not, but Hillsong has had a great revival. They've outgrown another building and had a picture of it, and the people are standing three abreast, two blocks long. And if they don't get into that service that night, they stay there in that line until the next night when the next service starts. Because they want to be in on what God is doing, and a great revival has broken out. And we sing some of Hillsong songs, so you know what kind of songs they sing. And this is why I like to play the videos, because you can see they truly do. They might not know the song, but they still worship the Father. And that's what I'm trying to get, or I should say God is trying to get you people to do. Even if you don't know the song, you still worship the Father. Amen. Might not be what you want to sing, but it's what God wants us to sing. And I was sitting here tonight and I was thinking, I watched some of your kids come down the steps, just ha ha he, you're all full of it. The minute this church service starts, they go, pfft. You know, all life drains from them. Why is that? Why do you have so much life before this service starts? And they're not the only ones that do that. But the minute we start our praise and worship, you just die. You literally die. What goes on? You see, I'm throwing this out because you need to start thinking, what is wrong with me? It's not the church. It's not the music. It's not your parents. It's you. Because we each have to work out our own salvation. Right? I don't want to work out yours. I'm having a big enough struggle with my own. Amen. I just want this to go on record tonight. I've been accused of being perfect. You just think you're so perfect. I'm getting tired of the accuser coming in my face and telling me I think I'm so perfect. If there's anybody that knows that I'm not perfect, it is me. Because I'm like Paul when he called that guy, the whitewashed, whatever he called him, I'd like to knock some of your heads off. I mean, that's not perfection. But Jesus did the same thing. So I'm here to tell this, and they play this on the website. I am not perfect. I have never said I was perfect. You say I'm perfect. Amen. And you said, well, you think you're so perfect. You're the one that's saying that. I didn't say that. But I just want this to go on record that I do not think that I am perfect. And if I tell you you're wrong, that you need to straighten up, that's my job. That doesn't mean I'm perfect. That's my job. Because when I stand before God, he's going to say, why didn't you tell them? So it's not me thinking I'm perfect. And how many times have I told you when I'm giving a sermon that God's worked on me through that sermon first? And then when I give it, then, I'm also getting it again. And I found out when I was studying and researching that I had the problem I was preaching on. How many times do I have to say that? There's something wrong with you, that you have to be the accuser of the brethren and always say you think you're so perfect. You have the problem and not me. Each one of you need to understand this with your own walk. When people start accusing you of things, they have the problem and not you. They're the ones that are not walking in holiness. They're the ones that aren't walking in the purity of God. And there's something in them that has to attack you to make them feel good. Amen. So there you go. I want everybody to know I'm not perfect. This is on the website. All right. Tonight I want to teach on, is there a hole in your sky? All right. Do you all know, if you read Marsha Burns' prophetic word, God's talking to them about the troubles you're going to go through. And then some other prophets saying the troubles you're going to go through. We're all going through troubles. You're like God told me years ago, you're not the only one in the boat. You know, like that one that girl says, you know, I have a pity party going, you know, and you know, that's the way we get. We're not the only one in the boat. There's millions and millions of people out there in the same boat that you're in. And they're holding on for dear life just like we are, right? So guys, just hold on, because Jesus Christ is coming. Our day of revival is coming. God has told me Lighthouse is going to win Delaware and Lower Delaware and the Delmarva Peninsula area for Christ. And I have never forgotten him. And I've asked him, have you changed your mind? He said, no, I have not. So, you know, we're still going to do this great mighty works. But in the meantime, we have to hold on. We have to fight that good fight of faith, right? See, this is what we get. We start talking about faith and the enemy attacks, doesn't he? By the way, Sister Nancy's doing great from her surgery. She's upstairs resting. She had her surgery this morning. So she went through it fine, right? Everything turned out great. All right. Is there a hole in your sky? An evangelist asked God why there are places and people that have such a hard time getting anything established in the spirit, and why are they always struggling? The Lord said to her, look up. She did, and she said she saw a blue sky. But it looked like there were holes in the sky. I don't know how else to explain it, but how come, she asked God. The Holy Spirit told her, there are gaps. Listen to this. There are gaps in the spirit because people have not kept their word. The dictionary definition of the word hole, you know, H-O-L-E, is hollow. An area where there is something missing, weakness. The Bible says that our words have power. Job 22:28, declare a thing. You know, I decree and I declare, you say, and the next day you say, well, I guess God just isn't listening to anything I have to say. There goes your hole in your sky, right? Declare a thing and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. Declare a thing, and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. Proverbs 18:21 says, the power of life and death is in the tongue. And we all know this, but we still fall short of following through on the word. When God speaks, he always does what he says. And you can count your life on it. It is done. It is established because God does what he says. It is finished. Amen. God is a covenant keeper, and when he speaks, things are created. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Everything we do is by faith. This is a world where we have to see everything. Well, you just are not going to see. Just like God told me when I first started, he said, daughter, I'm not going to send the thunder and the lightning and the floods and whatever else. He said, with you and I, it's a still small voice. Because I wanted God to flash lightning and thunder. How many of you have done that too? He said, I'm not doing that for you. It's a still small voice that I'll speak to you with. Well, God, give me a sign and I'll believe. No, a still, small voice. A lot of us in here, not just me, need to know that. No, he's not going to give you no sign. He's not going to smack you up alongside head with manna. It's a still, small voice. All right? When you speak as a Christian, your words should be the same as your Father's. And your words have power to create. I wish that every child of God, when they spoke, it would be the words of the Father, and it would be a covenant, and they would come to pass. I do. I really do. But in the body of Christ, we find so many people that their words mean absolutely nothing. And there's no covenant there. That's when I do weddings. Sometimes I don't like to do weddings because I already know they're not going to work out. And you know, no, you're making a covenant. I really stress it. You are making a covenant, and you cannot be a covenant breaker. And in too long down the road, they're breaking that covenant. God is not a covenant breaker. He is not. If he tells you something's going to happen, you can carry that to the bank. It is going to happen. You are the one that breaks the covenant. Now, I know a couple who were married, and after 4 years into their marriage, the husband wouldn't straighten out, and God spoke to him and said, I'm breaking this covenant. You're not breaking it. She's not breaking it. I'm breaking this covenant. You are free from this, and you have no more responsibility here. You walk out. Because he wouldn't straighten up. Because he said, I'm breaking the covenant. You aren't, and she isn't. I am. He was upset because the man would not straighten his life up. So he broke it. And believe me, when he breaks that, it's broken. It's done. It's over. All right. God is a covenant keeper, and when he speaks, things are created. We said that, right? All right. Proverbs. Proverbs, life and death are in the tongue, right? Isn't that what it says? We're going to read it, but isn't that what it says before I even read it? Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So I'm excited because everybody says, well, you think you're so perfect. They're speaking that into existence in my life, right? Yeah, I just now thought about that. There's power in their words, and they're making me perfect. With their words. Amen. Now I'm going to be excited next time you say I'm perfect. Because you're speaking that power into me. Now when they say to me, you think you're so holy, I said, yes, I am. I immediately say, yes, I am. I am holy. I am walking a holy walk. Amen. Come on. You can say that. All right, now. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Your words, listen to what I'm saying, your words start to form something when you don't follow through. All right, your words form something, all right? But when you don't follow through, it leaves a gap or a hole. Why? Because you started to create something. My earthly father said, whatever you start, you finish. So whatever I start, I finish, even if it kills me. I do. Everything I start, and it makes me so mad when somebody says in the body of Christ, I'm going to do this for you, and then a month down the road, are you sure God really wants me to do this? I really don't think I should do this. Get out of here. You are just not following through and completing the thing God told you to do because you're lazy. That's true. All right? So I'm telling you right now, If you're here with me, work with me, don't come and tell me you want to do something unless you're willing to follow through. Because I'm not going to have you create something and stop in the middle and cause a hole. All right? Your words start to form something, and when you don't follow through, it leaves a gap or hole. Why? Because you started to create something. The enemy watches for those gaps and slinks in to steal that thing or place that you previously spoke or declared. The enemy's watching. He's listening for your words. And the enemy watches for those gaps and slinks in to steal that thing or place that you previously spoke or declared. For example, when the Lord tells you your children will serve him, you need to receive that word and then declare it. How many times have I told you, God told me all, gave me a vision early on in my ministry. All of your children will serve me. And I saw them with Bibles in their hands or hands held up, and they were in the house of God praising him. Now, that is not what I see with my eyes for 30 years. That is not what I've been seeing. But that's what God's vision is. So I declare all the time, my children will serve God. They will be in the house of the Lord. Doesn't matter what hell puts them through. They will serve God. Why? Because God only told me that, he gave me a vision of it. And when he gives you a vision, that's something you'll never forget. Amen? As we declare it, God is faithful and he will come through and do what he said. Salvation is for you and your house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Isn't that what Joshua said? So, I don't care what your kids are doing. I don't care what they're saying. Are you declaring, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Declare it over them. And it, About the time you start declaring it, all hell's going to break loose against your children, against your house, make you look at the circumstances instead of what you declared and decreed. You're going to have to get your mind off of what's going around about you. Quit looking at the situation and keep your eyes upon God and stay, "You said." One member of my family, they're acting like the devil themselves. God kept telling me, "They're going to serve me. They're going to serve me. No matter what you see, they're going to serve me." I've seen so much junk, but they're going to serve him. They're going to serve him. Amen. They come into my house last night with a bracelet on about nothing but skull heads, but they're still going to serve him. And they're going to not wear them, I tell you, when I talk to them. But, you know, they're still going to serve him. I said, "God, how much lower can they go?" He said, "I told you, keep your eyes on me. Hold them up before me because they will serve me." Amen. Come on. Amen. Just because I see a skull bracelet doesn't mean they're not going to serve him. You know, not too long ago, I came in the house with an earring in the ear, and they pranced around because they know I hate that. And so I didn't say a word. Next day, earring gone. The devil, you know. I wasn't going to play in that game. I already knew not to play in the devil's hands, but I also lost my place. The anointing within you has, now listen to this, the anointing within you has the ability to create. When that anointing flows out of you and you speak and declare the promises or the words that God has given you, it starts to happen. I just read where the Jubilee year ends October the 2nd. I didn't know that. But what this Jennifer LeClaire, is that her name of charisma? She was saying that when they started the Jubilee year, they had the people bring in their bills and then they prayed over them. And people were set free from their debts. And now they're going to do the same thing October the 2nd. So if you want to bring your bills in, you bring your bills in, and we're going to pray the prayer that she prayed, and we're going to see ourselves set free. I'm not leaving a year of Jubilee without getting my Jubilee. I don't know about you, but the devil's not having my pea field any longer. Amen. Where am I at? Most Christians. Most Christians don't seem to realize that their words create a pathway which they are going to walk in. Hello? Most Christians don't see. Now, we all know this, but we have not still gotten this down pat. Most Christians don't seem to realize that their words create a pathway which they are going to walk in. You follow where your words go. Because your words are already working. Genesis 1. You can read this Genesis 1 at home, but 9 times God spoke and the mountains and rivers were formed. They were created by his word. And how powerful is that? Because we have the same power and authority in our words that God had when he created the earth. Come on. Your life is also formed and framed by the word of God. What has God told you about yourself? That's what you need to keep your eyes upon. Not what the devil's telling you. Not what your stupid flesh wants to do. Contrary to what God said, you're a mighty man of valor. And so you're out there looking at pornography. That looking at pornography is not what you are. What you are is a mighty man of valor. And the enemy's going to keep you looking at, I'm just using pornography. He's going to make you keep looking at pornography till you think, "Well, I'm not a mighty man of valor at all." You don't, every time the enemy makes you, you know, entices you to do a sin, say, "No, I'm a mighty man of valor." Even if you fall into that sin, get back up again, repent, and say, "No, I'm not your slave. I'm a mighty man of valor." Come on. That's the only way you're going to overcome. That's the only way you're going to make it. What did we say? That your words form a path that you will walk on. Isn't that what we read? Your life is also formed and framed by the word of God. In the spirit, God often uses the words that come through your own mouth to establish your own pathway. One day God said to me years ago, "Daughter, you better watch what you're saying. Because if you don't watch what you're saying, you're going to be walking in those words. So you better be watching what you're saying. Because you will end up walking in that path that you're formed before you." Finish what you start and do what you say. Finish what you start, do what you say. You are a child of God, so do as your heavenly Father does. You know, God says, I'm not a man that I should lie. Whatever he speaks is the truth, and whatever he speaks is going to happen. So, you're not God, but you're a child of God. So your words should be a yes and amen. People should be able to trust your word. They should be able to take it to the bank because they know that you are faithful and your words are true, and they can trust you no matter what you say or do. Amen. Come on. The Scottish nations have always had a revelation that God is a covenant keeper. You know, that Catherine Mulder, she always talks about the Scottish people. And she said they're just blessed because they know that they have a revelation. They have a revelation that God is a covenant keeper. We in this house of God do not understand that God is a covenant keeper. And whatever he speaks over your life, he'll bring it to pass. Unless you break that covenant. Are you listening here? You know, I was talking to somebody, and they said that, you know, I hate this because when I was first started going, you know, with the church and I was doing a lot of counseling, people who were alcoholics or drug addicts say, I'm a drug addict. You are not. You know, they go to these meetings, you have to say this kind of stuff and you are not. Well, when I was going to college, I had to go to these things and I started saying, why would you stand up and confess you're that when you're not? You're a child of the Most High God. So the enemy got in there and he plagued you. But you're not that. You are a born again child of God. Walking in the fullness of Jesus Christ, right? With all power and authority within you, right? Why don't you use your words and tell the devil where to go? You know? All right, I said, finish what you start, do what you say. You are a child of God, so do as your heavenly Father does. I read all that, didn't I? All right, holy habitations. We have to understand that when we have a hole in our sky, it is not always a sin-related issue. All right? Now listen to this. Sometimes it is just because you were exposed to an oppressive atmosphere in a place or person. When this happens, give yourself in worship to God and ask him to wash you in the river of his presence. Ask for cleansing through the blood of Jesus. So I said, sometimes it is just because you were exposed to an oppressive atmosphere in a place or person. How many of you live in a household where the devil's all around about you? The atmosphere is full of the demonic things that the devil does. Darkness, the atmosphere is full of that darkness. It's not because you're sinning. It's because the people who live there with you are in sin, and that darkness is in the atmosphere. All right? So what you have to do, you worship the Lord, ask him to wash in the river of his presence, ask for cleansing through the blood of Jesus. God told me one time, never forget the blood. And I said, God, I'm about to use the blood up. But that you don't ever do that. I'm always constantly pleading the blood, aren't you? Because when you're in it, when you're in an atmosphere where everything is dark, you need a lot of blood. You need a lot of praise and a lot of worship. And when you're living with the devil, it is a hard road to go. It really is. That thing will try to drain every bit of God out of you. It'll constantly nitpick at you, nitpick at you, nitpick at you until you feel like screaming and pull your hair out of your head. But what you have to do is run to the Father. Like some of these songs I just love. Because, you know, I know how many times I've had to do that. Not because I wanted to quit, but because the atmosphere was so dark, I was suffocating in the darkness of hell. Amen? Come on. God wants us to live in his reality more than we do. God wants us to live in his reality more than we do. We have to want to live experientially with God. It cannot be enough to just know some things. Knowing something's not going to help you at all. You have to experience it. You have to live it. And what we need to do is just want to live constantly. I don't know about you, but I want to live constantly in the arms of my Father. Because if I'm constantly living in the arms of my Father, the enemy can throw darts, but he can't touch me. And the darkness may be, all hell might be arrayed all around about me, but it can't touch the light because I'm in the arms of the Father. Amen. But I found out he won't let me live there all the time because I have to function as a light in a dark, dark world. Amen. We would like to live there. Just say, Daddy, put me on your lap and just wrap me in your arms and just hold me real tight. Don't let me have to experience life. But we have to experience life if we're going to help other people. All right. There needs to be a desire to experience God and know that you have something real to share with others. Tenacity with God is valuable. This is the attitude that says, I will not let go until you bless me. I will not let go until you bless me. Genesis. All right, let me stop there. I called Sister Nancy Connell last night and told her, this is something you have to pray for. I really believe there was a spirit of eviction, a curse of eviction over you people. Because I said, look, this one's been evicted, that one's been evicted, this, you know, and I said, that's a curse. So y'all prayed about that, right? And broke that curse of eviction. Now, see, God shared that with me, so I hurried up and called Nancy because it was 2 minutes before a prayer meeting. And I said, you need to hold this up before the Lord, whatever you do. And see, you need to understand what's going on in your life, because sometimes you're walking under a curse, and you need to break that curse that you're walking under. Amen? Come on. Sometimes God isn't going to reveal it to somebody else. And so you're going to have to be walking close with God, and you're going to have a conversation. You have a steady conversation with God so he can say to you, you know, this is what's wrong. You have a curse that you're walking. Remember, I told you, God told me one day, from now on, daughter, from this point on, for a season, you'll be walking under the curse instead of the blessing. So I went and run to Brother Christopher Gore, and he said, that's a lie. I don't believe that. And I said, but I know that was God. And guess what happened? The bottom fell out, and I started under the curse. And then one day God said, not too long ago, the Lord said to me, daughter, you no longer are walking under the curse. You're now walking back again in the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But see, because he told me I was going to be walking in the curse, I knew when things started falling apart, I didn't fall apart because he'd already warned me that I was going to be walking in under the curse. Why did I have to walk in that? Because I was sort of self-righteous. Well, you know, if you can't handle your money, you know, don't blame it on somebody else. So God had let me see that whenever you walk under a curse, it's not always something that you do. It's something that somebody else places upon you. All right? So be careful what you say, your words. In fact, I think I was ministering to Nancy Willis, I think, about her finances. And while I was ministering to her one day about her finances, God spoke to me and said, you're going to be walking down the same path she's walking on. I said to myself, oh, no, I'm not, God, because she's in poverty. Guess what? When God tells you something, he means it. And I had to walk down that road of poverty. And that was the first time I did that. And that wasn't nice. I didn't like that. But sometimes we have to experience things so we can minister to others. So don't curse what you have to walk through. There's always a reason why you're walking through it. Amen. All right, let's go to Genesis 32, verse 24. So what I said first was, this is the attitude that we have to have a tenacity with God, and it's valuable. And this is the attitude that says, I will not let go until you bless me. And Genesis 32, 24 says, then Jacob was left alone. He sent his wife and his family on ahead, you know. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, who was the man? An angel of the Lord, all right? Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, when the angel saw that Jacob did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with the angel. All right. And he said, let me go. Jacob said, the angel said, let me go, for the day breaks. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Tenacity. The utter gall of Jacob to tell the angel, I'm not letting you go. We need to get that. We need to wrestle with God until we receive the thing that he's promised us. So he said to him, So the angel said to Jacob, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And the angel said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." Come on. Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And the angel said, "Why is it you ask me about my name?" And he blessed him there. You know, what difference did it matter what the angel's name was? He was being blessed. But that's the way we are. We want all the nitty-gritty final details, right? Come on. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, and he says, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Now, did he see God? He saw an angel, all right? "And my life is preserved. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip." So from that day on, he limped, all right? How many of us have wrestled? I mean, I have. But how many of you have wrestled with God until you prevailed? Until you got the thing that he's promised you could have? Amen? All right, let's just talk about addictions, all right? Let's just say, I keep telling my granddaughter this, you know, she says, "I'm an alcoholic." I said, "You don't have to be an alcoholic. You can go before God and you can get out of that thing. And what you have to do is you just have to pray and prevail before God until he rips it." And this is what I'm doing with somebody in my family. I'm not giving up until you take that addiction out of them, just like that. Because you do it to others, you can do it for one of mine. And I'm not going to let God go. He's going to have to rip that thing out of him because I'm not going to let him go. I have a right as a child of God. Isn't that what Jacob did? Why do we sit around and let the devil have his way? And, you know, and why don't we go before God and why don't we prevail? Come on. Genesis 9:11 says, "Thus I establish my covenant with you." Never again, this is God talking to Noah. "Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." So we know that I don't care how much flooding you see, God is not going to destroy the earth with a flood. Because didn't he just say that here? Didn't he say that's my covenant? And God said, "This is a sign of the covenant." Now this is a sign. Which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. Now this is his covenant, the sign. "I set my rainbow in the cloud. And it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth." Every time you see a rainbow, that's God's covenant that he made with Noah, that he would never destroy the earth with a flood again. 14, "It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud." How many times do we see that? Don't you see a rainbow in the cloud? Yes, yes, yes. All right. Then you can know that's God's covenant. Verse 15, "And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God's saying, every time I look at that rainbow, I'm going to remember my covenant I made with you, Noah. And God said to Noah, "This is a sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." He made that covenant with every one of us. He's never going to destroy the earth with a flood again. Amen. But you look about fire. God is a covenant keeper. What kind of God would we serve if he all of a sudden flash flooded the whole earth and we were all drowned? Amen? We all need to understand that the covenant keeper is in us. God always keeps covenant through you. First thing you have to do is close the gaps. The second thing, do what you say. And the third thing is finish what you start. And you won't have holes in your sky. Don't be sloppy and act like a fruitcake. If you said you would call someone, call them. You know, before I even had a church, I heard a pastor say, a prophet came through the church, and he said, "You know how you say, people say, 'Will you pray for me?'" He said, "Yeah, yeah, I'll pray for you." He said, "I forget it the second I walk out the door." And then he said, "So what I do now is every time somebody says, 'Pray for me,' I immediately in my mind I pray for them so I can keep my covenant with them." And I've always remembered that. So every time somebody said, "Will you pray for me?" I said, "Sure." And I immediately pray for them right away. in case I forget. You should try that too. It works. All right, if you said you were going to do something for someone, do it. Close the gaps. Brother Adam said he'd come up and he would caulk my shed. And every day for 4 days, I think it was, he came and he caulked my shed. I didn't go out and check it. I still haven't checked it. He said it was done. As far as I'm concerned, it's done. He told me he's going to do something for me, and he did it. I trust in his word. Amen? Close the gaps. Be like your Heavenly Father because you represent him. His Spirit is working in you and through you. Come on. Concerning your inheritance, by faith see what God sees for you. What has God told you he's going to do for you? I don't care what's going on from the time he's spoken to the time it happens. All the in-between stuff is to take your eyes off of God's covenant with you. You know, the devil would have to be awful stupid. The minute God promised you something, to hand it over to you. I mean, not to fight you. He has to fight you so you lose your faith and trust in God. He know, just like Daniel, he knows that God is going to do what he promised. So he works overtime, making you believe he's not going to accomplish what he said he's going to do. Do you understand that this morning? Oh, it's evening, isn't it? This evening. What was God promised you about your husband, even though things looked the contrary? But they happened. Why? Because God said they would. See, we in here do not tell you things that whatever we speak to you is from God, and we do not tell you things out of our flesh, and that's why I do not like anybody going behind me or anybody else that prophesies in or my appointed prophets going by. They wait to where we all leave. Oh, by the way, God's told you, wants me to tell you this. No, if God wanted them to know, they would have told them while there's being prophesied to. You might have heard something about them, but keep it to yourself until God makes a way for you to reveal it. I have a hard time with that. Why do you want to prove to everybody you're a prophet? I don't understand that. What is wrong in you that you have to prove that? You know how many times I've sat in the years I've been in, before I even started church, I've been in church and I've sat there and I've heard words, big words about people and heard the other prophets prophesy. Never said a word about it. I didn't go up to that person and say, well, I have a word for you behind the other prophet. I never did that. I just went on home. And a lot of times God tells me what I tell you is for your benefit, not for you to blab it. So he might just want to tell you something about that person just so you maybe know how to pray for them. But if you think you have to prophesy, no, and I'm not insinuating anybody here. I'm just teaching you something because it just come up. If you think you have to prophesy behind another prophet, then you have a problem. All right. Now, you know, I still go to the church every year and prophesy over these people. But for this, the first time I went, the pastor's wife did not believe in a prophet. Didn't even want me to be on the property. So I prophesied, and I didn't know that. I prophesied to her and her husband. And then the next year I went back again, and she still didn't like prophets, so I prophesied to him again. And then the third year I went back, and she still didn't like prophets. I prophesied to her again, and she said, you have made a believer out of me because you prophesied 3 years in a row, and it's word for word for word for word every year. Nothing deviated. It was word for word for word. I thought that was exciting. That excited me to know that God remembered, because I couldn't remember like that. And he spoke, so it made a believer. She believed in prophets then. And then, you know, one time I was there years later, and the pastor was sitting in the sound booth, and I knew who he was, but I prophesied to him, you have more anointing than the pastor does. And I thought when I was going, I said, that was crazy for me to say that, because he's the pastor. And he just looked at me and grinned. But you know what happened? 2 years later, he let go of the church. Another pastor took over. So he had more anointing than the pastor took over. The other pastor walked more in the spirit than the new pastor did. See, God is faithful and God is just. Because I said, God, I just really messed up. The devil must have gone in there and said something that you once said, but that wasn't true. God wanted that man to know that he was more anointed than the pastor took over that church. Now he's out, you know, he travels around. What I'm saying here is you don't have to prove your gift. God will prove your gift. You don't have to look or seem important. God will prove who you are. All right? Somebody was telling me today that somebody else has a list of people they want to kill because they've hurt them and they're so mad at him. And I said, well, you know, the Bible says that he will vindicate you. So this person just needs to let go of that because God will vindicate. Don't let him do that. Why are you watching him tear that chair up? Make him stop. All right. Where am I at, Brent? Concerning. All right. Concerning your inheritance, by faith, see what God sees for you. When you do see, then begin to declare it. You hear that? When you do see, then begin to declare it. As you declare it, you are creating a pathway for it. Jesus said, you will have what you say. All right. You believe, Barbara, that God is creating a pathway for you to go overseas. Then you start decreeing it and declaring it. And I'm hearing God say, you are to go by yourself. He's going to make a way for you. See, we always start looking around. Who can help me? Who can help me? No, if God has made a covenant with you, then he's the one that's going to make the way. Amen. Come on. You need to understand this. You need to quit looking around who can help you or who can go with you or whatever I don't look to see who can help me keep the church going, because if God doesn't do it, it doesn't go on. And I'm sorry, but if you leave, I really don't care, because God is in control, not you. Each one of you need to understand about your own life. God is in control of the situation he told you he wanted you to do. People aren't. And they can't make it or break it if you don't let them. You have to rely on God. Amen? Do you know how many people told me, when I leave, you're going to fall? And I never did. You know, one person left, took the whole church, and it was just me in the chairs. And I cried out to God on a Saturday night. And I said, you know, I don't want to cry. But anyhow, the next day, new people just start coming. That's why I was in my house, filled my house right on up again. Because they left and took everybody, didn't mean a tiddly to God. He had another group ready to be taught. Are you understanding this? I didn't go out there and beat the bushes Saturday night and say, well, you want to come over into the church? I just cried out to God. God, what am I going to do now? And so he made a way. He made the way. When I didn't sit there and try to figure out what I was going to do, I just asked God, what do you want me to do now? Should I close the doors or what? And he said, you keep the doors open. I'll make the way. All right. Now, I've got where I'm at again. All right, I said, concerning your inheritance, I know, by faith, see what God sees for you. When you do see, then begin to declare it. I'm just repeating this. As you declare it, you are creating a pathway for it. Jesus said, you will have what you say. Barbara has been creating a pathway to go overseas as long as I've known her. She's declaring it. She's speaking it. You have. And so God is going to make a way for you to go. Amen? Come on. I've been declaring the glory for how many years now, because God told me to, and I've been decreeing and declaring it. It is going to happen. Because God said to me, don't grow weary in telling them that. So I'm not growing weary. You might be weary of me hearing it, but I really don't care. God says, keep telling them. Amen? Now, faith pleases God. You're going to have faith that God placed it in your heart and that he's going to make the way. He's going to just lay everything out before you. Amen. Faith pleases God. He is looking for someone to believe. Can you believe? All right. He will deal with the rest of the quirks in our lives. If you can believe, then all this other junk that comes up, he'll deal with all that. He wants to see some faith. This kind of determination will cause breakthroughs to occur in our lives and close the holes in our sky. I've had pastors come to me and say, why do you stay there? Why do you keep the doors open? It's only you and four other people. I said, God told me to stay. And the four other people always multiply, you know? And I, you know, and we say, well, look, they're starting to fall away again. And next thing you know, they start coming back again. I'm not looking at heads. I'm listening to the Father, and I'm doing what the Father's telling me to do. All right? And he has told me, you will not close those doors. You are the Philadelphia church, and you'll keep on going. And I've given you a promise, and I have not taken that promise back from you. His promise is we're going to win Delaware and Lower Delaware and Pennsylvania to Christ. Amen? You know what? I'm just trying to teach you something here. When I said I was going to win Lower Delaware to Christ, I had people live there say, well, God told me to go and start a church, and we're going to win that. And they went, and I don't know what they started, but it failed. And they've already quit. Are you understanding this? You know, I didn't get excited or upset. I said, that's wonderful. We can all work together. But they didn't want to work with me. And they failed, and some of them moved out of state. Started churches out of state, and they failed too. Why? Because they're not listening to the voice of the Father. They're doing what their flesh is saying to do. Amen? You have to only do what God says to do. Sometimes when he tells you to do something, your flesh is saying, no, you must have the wrong name. No, God, I can't do that. But yeah, you can, and that's why he told you to do it. Are you understanding this? Do you know how far-fetched it might sound? But if God said it, he's waiting for you to have faith to believe it. All right, this is a story. When I used to go to New England a lot in the winter, I would arrive without a coat because I would forget it was cold up there. After a while, my friends would meet me at the airport with a coat. But when I felt that chill, I would say, I always get a cold when I come up here. Guess what? I would immediately begin to get a cold. I was putting my order in. See that? I realized I was opening a door with my words, so I quit saying that, and the result was no more colds. How many of us are saying things, and we're opening up doors, and we're getting it, and saying, God, what are you doing? You're the one who's spoken into existence. You're the one that made the path, or like she said, opened the door. So what are you complaining about? Come on. A few things not to order, all right? You don't say, I can't. You don't say, I am afraid. You don't say, I can't afford. How many of us say, I can't afford quite often? I don't say that no more. I just say, well, right this second, I don't have the money, honey. But, you know, I tell little Gabriel, but we will get the money. We will do it. I don't say, well, we won't ever do it because I'm believing God's going to make a way for us to do it. All right? And you never should say, I wish. And you never should say, I am not. If you say, I wish, then you're not believing God can do it. I believe. All right. Now, this is something to declare. I am so blessed, I don't know what to do with myself. Come on. Come on. Every time I turn around, people are blessing me. God uses me to bless so many people in so many ways. I have that new home. I have that new car. I already have that place God wants me to live in. See? It's not just coming down the road. I already have it. My children are serving the Lord. I no longer am a slave to pornography. And the list goes on and on and on. And only you know what negative words you're speaking to keep those holes in your sky. I think this is a great teaching. And I think we need to quit paving our road with negative things. And I think we need to start. Did you punch him in the arm? Punch him again for me too. Thank you. I really think we need to start decreeing, declaring positive things. And here's what I want you to do. The things you need to decree and declare are the things God has spoken into your life. The things that God has spoken into your life. What has he told you you're going to do? Or if he said you're going to have a new home, he said you're going to have a new car, or whatever if your kids are going to serve the Lord, whatever he's spoken into your life, then you start decreeing and declaring those things. Amen. God said to me the other day, he said, the other day means maybe 6 months ago, all right? He said, you know, your children think they have you over a barrel because they have money and you don't. But he said, just watch and see who does the last laughing. Amen. You know, sometimes whenever you might be on a little poverty level and somebody has to maybe hand you, nobody hands me a dollar, by the way. I don't believe in that. But I'm talking about my kids. I believe that I should be able to keep my own self, all right? And just say they hand you a dollar, then they think they own you. That's why I don't do that. I don't do that. I'll make my own way, thank you. And I don't owe you nothing is what how I feel about my children. I didn't have them for them to keep me, even though the word tells you to do that. I had them because I wanted a joy and a delight in my life. And I made sure their life was a joy and a delight for them too. And now when they move out on their own, do their own thing, then they're on their own. But I still love them. But I don't want you to keep me. Amen. Do you know how many older people are living in pain and everything else because they have to rely on their kids to keep them? There's a lot, by the way, in case you don't. When I was in college, I used to have to go into nursing homes, and I couldn't believe how kids treated their parents. And if I find out any of you are doing that, I'm going to have to take you before the Lord and let him paddle you real good. Now, I think a lot of us, even though we heard about our words, I think a lot of us have to change the way we speak again and again and again until we get it right. And tonight, God wants to close the holes that you have made in your sky. He wants to wipe your slate clean so that you can leave here speaking positive words and no more holes in your sky. And that means you'll be blessed and not cursed. I didn't know what God was going to do, but he just said all that to you, so there you go. All right. So the altar's open, and I'm excited, and I'm just full of vim and vigor. I really am. Because I know that I know that I know that my Savior lives, and that what he's promised each one of us in here tonight is coming to pass. Even as we sit here and speak tonight, it is coming to pass, and the devil cannot stop it no matter what he does. He's not the author and finisher of your life. He did not write your book. God did. Amen? Come on. Let's receive all God has for us tonight. Everything. Let the anointing go upstairs with the kids and with Nancy, and let her receive tonight too. Put your hands up and just surrender to God.